Thank you, choir. Do you know, for the first probably 300 years, the church as it gathered could not use this symbol that we so frequently see. They couldn't even write about the cross because it was such a shame. So words like the mercy tree began to substitute so that people would not see the torture of this, but see the absolute gift that God gives. Well, we know how Maundy Thursday progresses. We know that Jesus invited his 12 beloved disciples to join him for dinner. In the Synoptic Gospels, it's a dinner on Passover. It's a celebration of Passover. In John's Gospel, it's not a celebration of Passover, but rather a celebration of the day before Passover. And in fact, as John sees it, Jesus is offered up by Pilate at noon, which is the exact time in the day of preparation when the lambs were slaughtered to celebrate. Because in the Jewish tradition, you took your lamb to the temple and had the temple priests slaughter the lamb for you in preparation, and then you'd take it home and cook it for the celebration that night. But in the middle of dinner, in John's Gospel, as we've been studying, a unique thing happens. Jesus gets up in the middle of the dinner and goes and takes off his robe and wraps a towel around himself and starts washing the disciples' feet. It was quite common for someone to wash the feet of a guest. Actually, they would simply provide a pan or a pot for the guests to do it for themselves. Unless they were very wealthy and had slaves, slaves would do it. But never would a guest do it. There is no record in antiquity of any time when anyone that was free and had a household offered to wash the feet of their guests. And Jesus put on the towel and he started washing their feet. This shock would have been amazing. And Peter couldn't even stand it. But Peter, when he stood up and resisted, Jesus replied, "If I don't wash you, you have no part in me." Peter, being Peter, said, "Well, then wash me all." But the dinner progressed. And in the Synoptic Gospels, you've heard the words every time we take communion, the words of institution, the words that Jesus changed what the Synoptics talk about as the Passover celebration to become the words that transcended that event and made it something new. "This bread is my body, and it's been offered up for you. This cup is my blood poured out for the remission of sins." And then we know that the evening ends this Maundy Thursday after he's given them the mandatum, the commandment to love one another as he has loved them. And he goes and outside and prays. And then we know he's arrested. And we start our vigil. In John's Gospel, as in each of the New Testament Gospels, there are echoes of the Old Testament Scripture found throughout it. Jesus' life gives testimony to something that was prearranged hundreds of years before. The psalmist writes in Psalm 116, I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I kept my faith, even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said, in my consternation, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. May God bless the reading of his word. Sacrifice is not a sacrifice when one is committed to love. Mothers know that. Fathers know that. The ones that you have loved have seen that in you. The sacrifice is not a sacrifice when it's committed in love. Here in the Psalms, there is a question asked. What can I give back to God for the blessings he's poured out on me? You know, so often I wonder that with that question and feel like I come up pretty short. But the truth is, a gift is a pretty precious thing. Anytime anyone gives a gift, it's a joy because you know someone's gone out of their way to remember you, to think about you. But not all gifts are gifts that are committed in love. The New York Times ran a story in 1997. Central Park was remodeling the children's zoo, and they needed $6 million to do so. One wealthy couple pledged $3 million, half of the needed money. But later, the officials told them that they would have their names on a plaque. The plaque would be 2.5 inches tall, and it would be in the center of the entrance gate, but it would be right below the donation that was given for the park, for the zoo in the first time. And the couple insisted that that donation was only a $500,000 donation. It was given 36 years ago, and it should be taken down, and ours should be the only one there. So the commission argued, struggled, and gave the couple back the news. We cannot remove a plaque of the people who gave before. And so, the couple rescinded their gift. Sometimes gifts aren't given out of love. They're given for something, aren't they? Sometimes gifts are given just to boost our own ego. And that's what happens when giving sometimes reveals our hearts and the problem of our hearts. We aren't as free as Jesus was to give what he gave to us and what we celebrate on Easter. In 1 Peter 4:9, it says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. You and I are supposed to not have to have a reason to give because we give out of love. In studying John's gospel, the most famous verse in the New Testament is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Many of us here have memorized that as children. Others of us have heard about it or seen it on baseball caps at a sporting event, or signs that are held up. It's a very popular verse. But one man said, I'd like to take that verse apart. For God so loved the world. It's a prepositional phrase. For is the preposition. So loved is how much God loved us. The subject of the sentence, He. The verb of the sentence, gave. The middle of the verse is so, whosoever. John 3:16 has been called the gospel in a nutshell. God gave. God's love is always demonstrated by His gifts. He even gave His own body. What God did, He did freely. He didn't give begrudgingly. He didn't give His leftovers. He didn't give the extra dime. He gave whatever was needed. And in this case, what we needed was Him to die on our behalf as a sacrifice. A sacrifice that so often I'm asked as a pastor, why did He have to die? He had to die because that was the way of His Jewish tradition. You sacrificed an animal on Passover. You sacrificed an animal on Yom Kippur. The sacrifice was the cost of your sin. It was symbolic. But our lives were much more than symbolic to Jesus. He loved each of us on this planet. In our worst days, with our ugliest hair, when our socks don't match because we made a mistake, He loves us. God gave us the best thing He could give us, Himself, as a promise that He will always be with us. Sacrifice is not a sacrifice where one is committed in love. God gave His creation to Adam and Eve. Adam, first man. Eve, first woman. And all that follow. He gave His only begotten Son. And then Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit, which promises to never leave us, even in our most fearful moments, even in our angriest moods, even in our deepest depressions. And the gift goes on. So the psalmist asks, what can I give back for the blessings that God has poured out on me? That's the meditation we think about today. As we come to this table, it's going to be a little different tonight. We're going to invite you to come up like the disciples did, 12 at a time. Circle the table.